Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
It seems like forever since we've recorded a podcast,
Jonathan. It does. You've been gone. It's not my fault.
Well, no, you've known where to find me. You cancel the last one.
That's true. That's actually right.
You cancel the last two. Don't blame me. But it has been like a week and a half since we recorded.
Yeah.
And in just a moment, I'm going to introduce Tony Morgan. Probably doesn't need an introduction. But Tony, just to pull you into a conversation before even the introduction, we do three podcasts a week. We do two Rainer on Leadership, and then we do one Revitalize and Replant. So we're doing 150 a year. And if we go a week and a week and a half without doing a podcast, it just feels like we haven't done a podcast. And Tony, while we're recording this, if you don't know the two ladies that you see in the room, we're doing this via a video conference as we're talking to Tony. At the end of the table this way is Amy Thompson. We call her Amy T. And right here is Amy J. And they're always in the, most all the time in the podcast room with us. And of course, you know Jonathan as well. Well, anyway, I have had so many asides right now. So we will get to introductions in just a moment. But we want to thank our sponsor, Vander Blumen Search Group, who has been with us since the onset.
Yep, Vander Blumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
There are a few people that I turn to in the ministry world that I say these are the go-to people. And I could probably name them on one hand and maybe get to a couple of fingers on the other hand that I just say, I want to hear what they're saying. One of those is Tony Morgan. And Tony has been with the Unstuck group. And when did you found it, Tony?
It's been 9 years now. So we're looking forward next year to celebrating our 10th anniversary.
And you were just kind of out on the cutting edge when you formed the Unstuck group. I mean, there weren't many like you. Not that there are any like you today, but it was truly a bleeding edge organization even then. So you're doing a great job, and thanks for being here for this as well.
Well, I've been looking forward to the conversation, Tom. It's good to be with you as well.
Well, you're one of the young guys out there. I'm one of the old fellas out there, and I enjoy watching you younger guys do what you're doing and all the way that you're serving churches. So we're going to talk about it, particularly, Jonathan, we're going to talk about the Unstuck Church Report. Is there anything else you want to say about Tony?
Just a quick intro for the people who don't know Tony. He has been on senior leadership teams at churches in Georgia, South Carolina, Indiana, has written several books. He's been featured on pastors.com, at Catalyst, Willow Creek Association. I mean, Tony's done it all. He's been around for, like you said, about 10 years doing the Unstuck group. So
yeah, he's
one of the places that I go to as well for information and stats and stuff. So
I'm not enough, Jonathan?
No, I try to get it all.
Okay.
I try to take it all in.
Well,
we link to him quite a bit on TomRainer.com.
So, yeah,
it's good stuff, man.
He's one of our favorite notable voices, yeah. Guys, because he has so much good information. So, Jonathan, I know that we're going to be talking to Tony about the Unstuck Church Report, and I think it's some of the most helpful information you can get. Tony, give us a little background of the Unstuck Church Report. How long have you been doing it? Obviously, it looks like you do it quarterly, if I'm looking at it correctly. And you're researching a group of churches. Give us a little bit of background on this.
Yeah, so we have been, over the 9 years, been collecting data from the churches that we work with, and then all the churches that are taking Vital Signs Survey, which is a resource that we offer through the unstuckgroup.com. And about a year ago, here's how this actually started. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts. It's called How I Built This. It's an NPR podcast, and they were featuring Barbara Cochran, one of the sharks from Shark Tank.
Yes.
And Barbara was talking about the development of her real estate business in New York City. And many, many years ago, she started, I think it's called the Cochran Report, which collects data about the real estate market in New York City. And it struck me that as I was listening to that podcast, to my knowledge, nobody was doing that for churches. And I just thought this is I think this is information that would be helpful to other churches, because we're not just collecting attendance and giving information. Mm-hmm. We're collecting data around, I think it's 15, 16 different benchmarks that I think the combination of all these metrics really provide a healthier look at where the church is. Is the church having a big impact? Are there some areas where the churches could be improving and taking some new ground? And I thought it would be helpful, because we were already collecting this data, to make it available on a more regular basis with some insights to go with it. So
it's a great report.
That's the gist of it. And like I said, we've been doing it for about a year now, and it does come out every quarter.
Yeah. How many churches are involved in the collection of this data?
So what we do is we do a rolling 12 months based on the vital signs information that we're collecting. And so I think in the last report, there were over 200 churches represented, all different sizes, by the way, churches under 200 and churches over 7,000 represented in the most recent report. And I think the average size was right around 675 or so. So that gives you a sense of the types of churches, I guess, that are responding to the data. And of course, next quarter, we'll refresh it with the then current 12-month data that we have.
Okay. And the 675 worship attendance, is that what you're
that's
using
right.
for the size of the church?
That's the average. Yep.
All right. Okay. Very good. Let's look at some of these,
Jonathan.
All right.
So we got 9 key insights from the report that we're going to talk about today. I guess, you know, start off right out the gate, 1.7% average increase of worship attendance over the last year.
I think some church leaders are going to say, really? Really?
Yeah, I'm sure. And in fact, I've had that same conversation twice this week with different churches, one very small church and one very, very large church.
Yeah.
And I mean, Tom, I think you've done a lot of work and had conversations around this. Generally, I think the sense is that churches across the U.S. now are starting to experience, I think, what churches around the world have experienced prior to us. And
right.
that there does seem to be a general attendance plateau, as the normal Christ follower is not attending church every week.
Right.
But what our data is showing, again, of these 200 or more churches over the last 12 months, churches are still seeing increase. And so that was encouraging to me. I don't think churches should settle when it comes to attendance. I do think the new measure going forward is going to be more around engagement, because people will not be attending services every week. But I don't think churches should settle with the assumption that we're just going to decline in our Sunday morning attendance, because I also think that is still essential to the health of the church and how they're helping people take their next steps toward
one
Christ.
Tony, one thing I see in the data, but even before we get to another part here, is if churches are connected with you somehow, connected with Unstuck, they're churches that have an openness and churches that are eager to find out what they need to be doing.
Yeah.
And so you're showing us that if churches are seeking, if they're desirous of improving, these are the type of stats that they could realize, because hey, basically, it's come to the Unstuck group and we'll solve every problem you have. Not really.
But in the fine print, isn't it?
But at the same time, it is indicative.
I wish we could promise
it is indicative
that.
Of the ministry of Unstuck and the type of churches that are coming to you. So it's good.
Yeah. So next one, of the churches here, 18% are multi-site.
I love this.
Yeah, and that's been a pretty consistent number over the last year as we've looked at that data. And again, let's think about this. The average size church is 680, and yet 18% of the churches represented in the data have already moved towards multiple locations. And I agree, Tom, I love it too. I love the fact that churches are expanding their reach into their communities and recognizing it might not be building a bigger building that helps them reach more people.
Right.
It might actually be that adding a second location is going to help them reach more people faster. And what we're seeing is typically that costs less money too.
It does.
Where the investment is larger, though, and this is something that multi-site churches we work with have begun to realize, is it takes more leaders and it takes more volunteers. And actually, the money comes easier. It's the leadership and the volunteer engagement that has to increase that's creating the demand on these multi-site churches. But frankly, I think that's a healthy tension. I love the fact that churches going multi-site have to put more effort into raising up new leaders and engaging more people in volunteer ministry.
Which is the segue to the third one, Jonathan.
Yeah, that's that you need. Well, 45% of the congregations are, well, of the people in the congregations are serving monthly as volunteers.
Yeah, and here we assume children aren't serving, though I know even in some churches, they're looking for opportunities to engage kids in serving opportunities too. But here the data is focused specifically on adults and students. And I'm encouraged by that number. 45% of adults and students serving someplace.
Absolutely.
On a regular basis in their churches. And the reason why I'm encouraged by that is it's really part of my personal spiritual journey. Using my spiritual gifts initially in volunteer roles in churches and then eventually in staff roles, I really think that was one of the essential catalysts for spiritual formation in my life. There's something about when you're told you're leading a small group or you're teaching a class or something right. along those lines where you have influence over other believers. It really stretches where you are in your faith and challenges you to take your next step toward Christ. And for me, serving was essential to that. And so I'm always encouraged when I see churches that are really working to increase this number. You may be interested in knowing that on the high end, I think some of the best practice churches we're seeing are engaging anywhere from 60 to 70% of their wow. adult students somewhere in serving. And the churches that are really knocking it out of the park are focusing on engaging students, which I love. Again, just my personal story, when I look at my kids and my family, we have four of them. I love them all. And I think what's connected them most to the church hasn't been the weekly gatherings for student ministries. Instead, what's connected them to the church has been the serving opportunities, primarily in children's ministry, which is really kind of, again, like my spiritual journey, not only connected to them to the church, but helped them take their next steps toward Christ. So I love it when I see churches trying to get students involved in serving, particularly on Sunday mornings.
Good. Well, I think it's good that just churches are even, you know, keeping up with this metric. Because a lot of times
yes.
we don't see, I mean, that's not a metric that you typically see kept up with in churches. And I like the fact that, you know, by doing this and doing these reports, that it's forcing churches to look at that, because I think that's a somewhat of an unknown in many churches.
Both
yeah,
of these.
Jonathan, sometimes we'll connect with a church and start to ask for this data, and it's the first time that they've had to go out and gather it.
It's a good thing.
And it really does help churches identify where are we stuck. I mean, this volunteer engagement and some of the others that we'll be going through that are included in the report, the leaders just had no idea whether they were winning or not. And so for them to identify, you know, we've been strong in our giving, but we've been plateaued in this area, or our attendance has been up. But in other areas, it just doesn't feel like people are taking their next steps toward Christ. It's really eye-opening for the churches we're serving to see for the first time, well, this explains it. This is why we're not keeping pace like we are hoping to.
Let's look at this conversion one.
Yep, conversion rate.
This is a bit encouraging for me.
Yeah, this is good because we've talked about, I think, the stuff you wrote, Dr. Rainer, eons ago.
Yes, when I was in my 70s, I wrote a book several decades ago.
It was 20-1, right?
Tony, I'm old, but compared to Jonathan, I have hair.
Yes, a lot of it. But it was 20-1, I think, was the standard benchmark.
Yeah, but I use membership.
Yeah, membership. Okay.
That would make
a Tony's looking here and saying, you know, average attendance 6.4% baptisms. That calculates out to about a 16-1 ratio.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging.
This is very encouraging to me. And I do think it takes some intentionality for churches to actually talk about how do we become a Jesus follower? How do we enter in that relationship with Christ and then teaching biblical principles on going public with your faith through baptism? And, you know, there's some great stories out there. One church I was working with a couple years ago, really, it's just a church of a little over 1,000 people. But they were captured by the story from Acts about people coming to the Lord daily. And so for 1 year, they committed to trying to reach 365 people for Christ. And in their lobby, they had a big 365 with light bulbs. And every time someone accepted Christ, they turned on one of those 365 light bulbs. And the next Easter, we're able to celebrate 365 people accepting Christ over the last 12 months.
That's intentionality.
I love stories like that because it really helps to cast the vision for what the church is all about. It's not for churchy people to gather every Sunday. It's really about carrying out the gospel mission. And when you keep that vision in front of people and teach about it, encourage people to take their next steps toward Christ and rally the church to pray around something like that, I just think God answers that prayer. And it's fun to see stories of churches, I think, having a huge kingdom impact. And again, it's not the mega churches all the time. We're seeing small and mid-size churches do the same.
That's great. Related to volunteer engagement, this is not specifically volunteer engagement, but it is getting people connected. Yeah. 60% of the congregation involved in small groups of some different types.
Yeah. That's right. And again, I think this is positive because what churches are recognizing is gathering everybody in the worship sanctuary on Sunday morning is not enough for people to go deeper in their faith. There needs to be some relational component. Again, we see that from the early days of the church, gathering in homes. And so I love the fact that whether it's Sunday school, or home groups or somewhere in between, churches are recognizing we have to move people from pews into circles somehow. We have to get people connected into some biblical community where they're able to encourage each other, hold each other accountable, dive deeper into scripture, and really just do life together. So again, here, the assumption is actually in many cases, kids are forced to be in groups on Sunday morning. So we're not counting them in this data. This is just adults and students, the folks that have a choice as to whether or not they're going to connect to a smaller group. And here again, we're measuring both Sunday school and home groups.
Got it. Very good.
All right. Next one, another one that you kind of kick out the kids is giving per capita, because that's something that the per capita giving is something that we talk about quite a bit on the podcast, but the numbers that we use typically include the kids in that. So a little bit apples and oranges here.
Well, but ours brings it down, yeah, obviously, because most of the kids are low to zero givers. So our numbers come in the low 30s. You take out the kids and it goes out to the mid to high 40s.
Yeah, $47 per capita.
Yeah, that's right. And in some ways, I wish we could include the kids here because I know a lot of churches, they're encouraging generosity and biblical stewardship principles with their kids ministry too. And I love that. I want my kids to be learning that. But here, in order to keep oranges and apples, I always get that phrase wrong. In order to make sure the comparison is the same, we drop the kids for everybody and just focus on students and adults. And here, I mean, this is, I think, positive news that giving is increasing in churches. And so we read all the time about the challenge of not only keeping millennials connected to the church, but also to encourage them to start giving to the church. And I don't know. This data is telling me churches must be winning there. I know there are a number of boomers and Gen Xers that are still supporting their local churches, but I don't think this number could continue to be increasing if churches weren't also starting to engage millennials when it comes to biblical stewardship principles actually supporting and investing in the local church. So again, this metric is really encouraging to me and really helps to set a benchmark then for other churches. Where are we in our stewardship practices? Are we encouraging people to give and support the ministry of the local church? And are we connecting the investment in the church ministry with the vision that God's called us to, with the life change stories that are happening in our church, and just great biblical teaching when it comes to money. And
that's
so
good.
Here it appears churches are winning. So I'm encouraged by that.
Jonathan, let's kind of put these last three together.
Yeah, well, this is staffing.
Let's just go and get the staffing numbers. And
let's let Tony
give us a general comment about staffing issues. But so put them out there, if you will.
All right, so staffing budget, 50% of the total budget, which is something that we've talked about. That's kind of a typical thing here. Staff to attendance ratio, one staff member for every 61 in attendance. And then the part-time staff, this is a big one here, 56% of staff on churches are part-time.
Two things on this, Tony. The first one, staffing is a percent of budget. That is the question we get the most. And we say, okay, we'll give you a number that's out there, but it really depends. If you have debt and other issues, that's going to affect it. And then this part-time staff, this 56%, I haven't seen this one. I like it. I like hearing about it.
Yeah, and what we do is just do a comparison with what the reports are coming out of the Department of Labor nationally for part-time workers is 17%. Yeah. So churches, 56% of their staff is part-time. Nationally, the average is 17%. And so what that's saying is churches obviously are leveraging part-time workers a lot more than the typical business organization or nonprofit organization. I actually see this again to be positive. I think it's a good stewardship of financial resources. Obviously, part-time workers don't require additional benefits. You give more people the opportunity to engage in ministry roles within the church. And so I'm actually encouraged by that number. Tom, you said it's the first time you've seen it. What's your reaction?
Encouraged. Absolutely encouraged to see in the gig economy that we live in, you would think that the corporate world or the secular world would have high numbers, but the churches are actually doing a better job with it than.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I'm very, very encouraged. Tony, as we wrap this up, what are some things that you want to share that you can connect our audience with about you and Unstuck that we can put in our show notes? Just tell us what would be some of the most helpful things.
Yeah, so over the last 9 years, we've had the opportunity to work on the ground with over 300 churches now, and it's churches under 200 and churches over 20,000 and everything in between, all different denominations, including a lot of Southern Baptist churches, Tom. So I'm
not
staying,
familiar with them.
I'm staying within the fold, too. And number one, I really love the fact that God is using all types of churches across the country, all different pastors, different leaders, wirings are unique. And there's not one right way to do healthy church and to expand the kingdom. So I'm encouraged by that. But the opportunity there is, it's available for churches of any size. What we try to do is right size what we do to serve churches on the ground so that not only the consulting and coaching you get looks different based on the size of the church, but then more importantly for a lot of churches, what you have to pay for that service looks different too based on the size of the church.
That's good.
And in fact, for some of the smaller churches that can't afford it, we want to remove that. We partner with another organization that has grant funding available. So we're trying to remove all the barriers so we can help as many churches as possible. And you can learn more about that. You can learn more about the Unstuck Church Report and many of our other resources at theunstuckgroup.com.
Sounds great. Tony, thank you so much. You and I have had interaction both host guests over the years. It's always rich. Love what you're doing. Love the fact that we're able to connect each other in the worlds that we're in. So thank you so much for being here and being a part of it, Tony.
Well, thanks for having me on today's episode, Tom.
Thank you, Midwestern Seminary, for being our sponsor.
Yeah, the ministry landscape is changing and the need for biblical training is more necessary than ever. And it's available to you through the Master of Divinity degree at Midwestern Seminary. The MDiv, Midwestern's flagship degree program, is the primary track for ministry preparation. In just 81 hours, the Midwestern MDiv offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, offering everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City and train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. You can start your ministry training today at mbts.edu/mdiv. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
My final closing thoughts are look at your show notes, connect with Tony Morgan, connect with Unstuck Group. They're doing so many good things, and I consider them a viable and vital partner in ministry. So been just great to have Tony here. So, Jonathan, that's my closing comment.
All right. Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and in your favorite podcasting app, and join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.